Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Renegade Radio. In fact, we are interrupting a recorded edition of Renegade Radio to bring you a live broadcast of Renegade Radio. So hopefully those of you tuning into the recording can go back and finish listening to that episode a little bit later out of our archive. But right now, we're excited to bring you a live edition brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. Today, we are going to be visiting with Larry Block, who's the president and owner at Mobile Marketing Technologies, as well as Stephen Eppinger from ownersite.com. I joked with him if I had to say the .com, and he assured me that if I wanted to, that would be good, so I'll throw that out there, but no apologies for the singing voice. Those of you who are having to calm your dogs down right now, then, you know, not my problem. Guys, welcome to the show today. How are you?
Doing great. Great here too, Andy. Thank you.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, guys, let's jump in and find out a little bit about your companies and what you guys do, and then we'll move on to some of the things that make you or your businesses renegade and break those rules of conventional thinking that we love to talk here on Radio Renegade Radio about. So, Larry, if I can, let me start with you. Tell us a little bit about MMT.
Well, thanks, Andy. Mobile Marketing Technologies was started in 2005 as a way to market to do highly targeted marketing. We started with text messaging, which is what our core is, where we do text message programs, everything from mobile coupons to text alert systems to appointment reminders, but basically hitting people via text message. Everything is opt-in, so we don't do any spamming whatsoever. And then we've moved on, and we've gotten a lot into the QR code marketing as well, where we can use the QR code, the funny-looking barcode that you see on everything these days. And we take everything a step further than most. You'll see a lot of the text messaging programs out there. The big ones are on the text side are the business cards, which, in my opinion, they sort of work and sort of don't. The technology works great, but your information gets lost when you text information in and are instantly into someone's database because they, without a physical card, no one can remember who you are. We do a lot of couponing where a restaurant, for instance, if they're having a slow night, can instantly send out a coupon, and inside of an hour we can show results.
Well, that's not bad. People like that instant kind of feedback. So let's look at both of these things and kind of separate them, I guess, because they are a little bit different. Uh-huh. There's text marketing and then there's the QR code. Let's start with the text marketing piece. So tell me what's different. I mean, why are companies moving to text marketing versus traditional sources, perhaps, you know, print, news media, radio outlets, et cetera?
Andy, most people are moving towards the text marketing because of the age groups involved. As most people know, the kids coming up anywhere from 18 for marketing sakes, but it actually goes down to about 10 or 12, up through 35, 40, 45, they depend on text messaging. You'll find these 18 to 30-year-olds are actually sending out anywhere from 2 to 5,000 text messages a month.
I wasn't shocked by the a day, so yeah. Yeah. A month makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah, but they're sending an average of anywhere from 2 to 5,000 a month, so we take advantage of that, and we give businesses a way to use that as a marketing tool. That younger generation, unlike those of us that are a little bit older that depend on our email, they depend on the text messaging, and they're going to respond within an hour of receipt.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a second, because, I mean, when I think about the different generations, right? I mean, you get on an airplane. It's not uncommon to see people in the, you know, 35 demographic up reading the paper, thumbing through a magazine, et cetera. But the younger crowd, you almost never see someone 25 years old or below carrying a newspaper.
That's correct. What we're finding is that the younger generation are depending upon that smartphone for absolutely everything. They can watch movies. They can read the newspaper. They can get on the internet. They can communicate. They can make phone calls. But basically, everything is in that one device, where the older generation tends to have their computer and their TV. It's commonly referred to for the older generation as the third screen. The first screen is your TV, the second screen is your computer, and the third screen is your phone. Whereas for the younger generation, the first screen is their phone, and it's almost reversed.
Now, what has this done to the business world in the sense of, in the past, think of traditional media, right? You put an advertisement out there, maybe an offer, maybe a special, something like that, and you're hoping somebody responds to it, but you know these things have long deadlines. Maybe the offer doesn't expire for 30, 60, 90 days, et cetera. But with text marketing, I can keep my my target very narrow. I can keep my time frame very short, and I can create instant response. Is that what you're seeing businesses really leverage?
Yes, that's correct. And in addition to that, because everything we do is opt-in, you have a much greater response rate. So if you send out 100 text messages, you're going to get anywhere from 25 to 35 people actually respond, because it's not like traditional marketing. When you place an ad in the paper, you're basically throwing it up against the wall and hoping something sticks. With our text message marketing, you're actually sending to only people that have indicated to you prior that they're interested in your product.
Well, talk to me about that. What does that mean, opt-in, indicated prior? Because I get a lot of text messages that aren't from anyone that I've ever talked to. It's my chance to win a free iPad or something, you know. I can get a gift card to Walmart or whatever, right? We've all seen these. What's the difference between those spam-type texts and this opt-in direct marketing that you can do with text?
Well, Andy, to tell you the truth, they're not supposed to be sending you those spam-type texts at all. You have probably signed up through a website or through something where you've given someone your cell phone number to receive those. If you haven't, there are some workarounds that some companies are doing. We do not do that. We only do the opt-in. And to be honest with you, if we get caught spamming something, our fine is upwards of $20,000 every time we spam someone. So we don't do that at all, and we make sure all our clients actually get an opt-in, and people you can opt in through social media, through websites, through comment cards, directly through texting. But we actually make sure that everyone opts in, so that one, because we obviously don't want to pay the fines, but two, because for our customers it provides a much better response rate, and they're a lot happier with, you know, buying our services because they're getting the response that they're looking for.
Now, Larry, is this a better route for a lot of businesses to go where they can do the direct targeting with their text messaging versus, say, I'm part of a Scout Mob or a Groupon or something that has a mobile app, and I'm going to try to reach the base of customers through that mechanism?
The real difference between the two is with a text message, it works on every phone out there, 100% of the phones, where the Scout Mobs and all the other ones, you have to have a smartphone. So it really depends on who your market is.
And I have to have the app.
Yeah, and you have to have the app, exactly. So it's...
And I have to pay Groupon half my money.
Yeah, yeah. So from a business standpoint, you control your costs a lot more with texting.
Okay.
You can get to everybody. You're not just dependent on the people that have the smartphones. And from a consumer standpoint, you can get it wherever you are. And when you get something through an app, you have, as a consumer, you have to go to that app to look for what you're looking for. With a text message, you get a text message. And let's be honest, who doesn't read a text message as soon as it comes in? According to Nielsen, text messages get read and responded to inside of an hour. But think about it. If you're in the middle of a meeting and you get a text message, chances are you're going to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Your phone buzzes, you look at it, you want to see what it is. I find myself even opening the ones that I know are spam. And ironically, the Android system that I have perpetuates that, because I have to actually open it in order to blacklist it. So... You know, I guess it serves its purpose. I do have to read the text somewhat, because I have to open it to actually get rid of it.
Yeah, that's correct. Though, just for all of your listeners out there, if you ever get spam that you don't want in a text message, if you will reply stop, they have to stop.
Now, that's an interesting, let's stay on that for a second, because that's an interesting thing, because here's the other side of that rumor mill, and I know I've heard this, and I probably have this little bit of a superstition myself. It's like with email, you can reply back and say, you know, remove me or delete me or whatever. To me, the scary part is that simply validates that there's someone on the other end. They validated an email. They validated a text message address. You're saying, no, if I send them stop, they have to stop.
That's correct. Your phone number's already validated. If they send you something, that company gets a report of whether it went through or not. They've already validated your phone number, whether you reply stop or not.
Okay. All right. So stop is the legal way and the best way for you to not get text messages that you aren't interested in.
Correct. And if it comes through with a 5 or a 6-digit number, which is called a short code, you can continue to receive those, you can actually contact the FCC, give them your 5-digit number, tell them when you replied stop, and that's when the $20,000 fines start coming in.
Okay, so let me ask another question. So if and this, I guess, works for both sides, because I'm thinking from a business owner side, I'm thinking from a consumer side. How do we get connected? You know, like I go to restaurants, for example, and I know you mentioned restaurants with a special. I go to restaurants and enjoy eating there, love the food, love the experience, but have zero social media interaction with them. Maybe I find them on Facebook and I, quote, like them or something, but I have no place that I've given them my phone number. They haven't collected it anywhere. How do we come together? How do I find out if they've got this texting marketing program so I can get in on these specials? How do they find out who I am so they can actually deliver these coupon savings to me?
That's where the traditional media comes in, because that restaurant has to advertise in some way to get you onto their list. They have to either do it through traditional advertising. It might be an ad in the paper. It might be a comment card on the table. It might be POP on the table. It may be on their website. It may be through social media. But somewhere, somehow, they've got to get that word out there so that you can sign up. And that's why I always say that text messaging is a great way of marketing, but it's not the only way. It's only a piece of the pie. You've got to do it all, and texting is a great way to do it, but you can't do it in lieu of everything else.
Okay. Well, before I get to Stephen here, let's jump over to this QR code thing really quickly, because that's kind of another animal in this equation. So tell me a little bit about this whole QR code thing. I see these little, you know, square boxes and funny symbols and signs places. Tell us about what that does and why, A, I would care as a consumer, and B, as a business owner, why would I want to slap one of those up?
Well, Andy, what a traditional QR code, and I say traditional because they seem fairly new, but they've actually been out for 10 to 15 years. But what most QR codes you see, you can either shoot the QR code and you can get someone's contact information, you can get map coordinates, you can get sent directly to a website, you can actually, it can generate an email or it can generate a text. What we have done is we have married gaming and couponing using the QR code. With our new program, which we call snapthequr.com, and you can either do it through our traditional advertising or through our website, every time you snap our QR code, you get a different coupon. So it becomes a game now where you can go in and you can get coupons. So we're sort of bringing in that text couponing and that couponing idea through the QR code. So we're sort of making it a fun way to do it. And at the same time, if you're a business participating in the Snap the QR program, it gives you the ability to get people to sign up and to opt into your list directly through this couponing.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And it can also be used and is also used, I take it, where people can get quick information at the point of purchase. Is that right?
That is correct. That's another way. And usually it's done through the website, but at point of purchase, you can snap that QR and instantly get information on that product. In some markets, you can actually snap that QR, put in your credit card number, and actually pay for the item and walk out the store.
That's convenient. It's an interesting thing because, you know, consumers have gotten so savvy at the point of purchase. I mean, I know recently I was at a store and I wanted to pull up information on the product. I wanted to get a couple of reviews on the product, And frankly, I wanted to be able to price compare to know, you know, look, am I paying a decent price here or not? Come to find out, the store actually had a price matching policy, and I was able to use the information I found to get the online deal in the retail, which was of great benefit to me.
That's correct. And it also gives that business the opportunity to control the information the consumer gets. Traditionally, without the QR, as you said, you go into the store, you pull out your smartphone, you go to the website, and you do a search. But if there's a QR code, that's much easier. You'll shoot that QR code, and suddenly you get all the information you want, but it's actually controlled by the business.
Okay. All right. So a little hide and cover there in some ways.
Yeah, that's correct.
We don't want to really promote that out there, right? All right. Fair enough. Well, Larry, I got some more questions for you probably before we're done here, but can you hang out for a few minutes and let me bring Stephen in on the conversation?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
Well, great. Well, Stephen Eppinger is the president and CEO of Ownersite.com. See, there's twice in the show, man. That's two plugs. So we'll talk about compensation after. No, I'm serious. Tell us a little bit about Ownersite Technologies. Who are you guys and what do you do, Stephen?
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to thank Larry first. I learned some pretty cool stuff about text message marketing there, and I think I'm going to talk to him after the show a little bit. So
I think you should shoot him a text right now.
I think I might do that. Hold on. Well, I'll tell you, Ownersite.com was founded back in the year 2000, kind of an interesting history from where the company and product was conceived from. Back in 1996, I moved south of the Mason-Dixon line after getting married, and to kind of acclimate myself to the south, I bought a Ford F-150 pickup truck.
Well, there you go.
I was kind of an internet entrepreneur at the time, and I was looking for resources online to improve the truck and couldn't find any. So I built a website with message boards, photographs, galleries, called it F-150 Online, and within a few weeks, I had several hundred people visiting this site.
Well, now, in 1996, this was no easy task because the internet was not as full scale as we know it today.
No, it definitely wasn't. But, you know, something that Larry spoke to earlier about traditional marketing and how traditional marketing is now in the mix to really promote websites and web properties. Back then, you almost could build it and they will come type mentality, as long as you knew how to use message boards and knew how to use news groups. Nobody knows what a news group is anymore. But so I built this resource for F-150 owners. About 6 months after launching the site, I was looking for a tool to track my own fuel economy. Big honking V8 engine, it was just terrible fuel economy, and I wanted to see what I could do to make it better. Couldn't find anything on the web. So there was desktop software, there was Palm Pilot software back in the day.
There was the little spiral notebook you kept in the glove compartment.
You'd be amazed at how many people still employ that
I still
that
see
technology
people at the
now.
Pump doing that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun way to do it still, if you can read your own handwriting.
and if you can add.
And if you can add, yeah. So I took it upon myself to build something. It was called Ownersite.com. I was very fortunate in those days that I had quite literally thousands of anal retentive truck owners, and I use that as a very complimentary term because I consider myself very anal retentive when it comes to my cars. And that ultimately evolved into a product called Ownersite.com, a tool for people to track fuel economy, get service reminders, document their maintenance history. If you think back to the way we bought and sold used cars, not even 5 or 6 years ago, you would have an ad in a paper, and there would be something there that said all receipts available. And that made a car more appealing. Well, the modern day equivalent is you save all your service records, you put a link in an Auto Trader ad, an eBay Motors ad, and that just makes a vehicle worth more money. So as this Ownersite.com thing evolved, I'd say somewhere around 2006, I was approached to sell the F-150 website, so I had the opportunity to focus full-time on Ownersite. April 2007, I sold that to Internet Brands, and conceived of a fleet product, so a multi-vehicle, multi-user version of the product that was more of a B2B type offering, and that's really where we're evolving from right now.
Do you find that your organization is more geared towards the business side of fleet management, or is it still a viable place for individuals to come?
It definitely is still a viable place for individuals, but just the nature of the internet, you have a lot of small startup companies that come and go that offer a free product, whether it be a free iPhone app or a free Android app or a free website. Ultimately, if I look back in the competition over the last 10, 12 years, 99% of them are gone. They didn't have a business model, so people liked them, they tried them, the product went away, consumers came back to us. But if you're looking at traditional revenue opportunities, the B2B market is definitely a stronger place to be.
Yeah, individuals aren't probably as likely to want to pay for, you know, this type of service because it's not as valuable, I would assume, to as it would be to an organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what types of organizations do you find are best suited for this type of software?
You know, it's funny. We are all over the board. If you just drive around 285 in the middle of the afternoon, you'll see what organizations are users of our software. You know, small businesses that operate a fleet of anywhere from 2 to 100 vehicles, panel vans. Our biggest segment of users are limousine operators. We have HVAC companies. We have florists. We have morticians. We have churches. Any company that operates a vehicle or more derives a good deal of benefit from using the product.
Do you have any type of information like the ROI that a company would experience by using this type of technology to manage their fleet?
Absolutely. You know, there aren't necessarily canned reports that tell you that because every customer is different. I've likened OwnerSight to a Swiss Army knife for many, many years now because there are 70 different things the product will do for a consumer or a fleet, but there's no two customers that are using it in the same way. Some use it for fuel, some use it for reminders, some use it for maintenance history. So we can look at as a vehicle evolves, as the expenses are incurred, you can compare and contrast vehicles and say, okay, well, we're more efficient here, we're less efficient here, we can save money by, you know, servicing less frequently here. So there's definitely a huge ROI opportunity using the product.
Now, at the current time, is all of the data input into this program manual? And the user is inputting this data in, or are you at a point either now or maybe you can talk, you know, what's coming down the road where you can integrate some technologies that would draw some of that information in automatically?
Absolutely. As the product evolved, it really started out as purely customer data entry. We are working on a relationship right now with one of the biggest fleet fuel card providers based here in Atlanta, as a matter of fact, to do some real-time data integration. We are working with some of the GPS tracking companies to log real-time mileage to update more accurate service reminders. So as the product evolves, what our customers are looking for, we're trying to get in there. We have focused more and more in the last year or so on mobile and cloud. So the application, we have a native Android app. We have a very iPhone and iPad friendly mobile website, which facilitates data entry because it's a location aware application. The driver doesn't really have to do a lot of work other than here's the mileage, here's the service that was done, you're good to go.
What type of advantages have you been able to offer as cloud technology has emerged in the market?
Well, you know, cloud, much like Larry mentioned that QR has been around for a while, cloud is really just the fancy new word for when we were launched, we were called an application service provider. The idea of your critical business application residing on a server on the web somewhere, it's effectively what cloud is, and that's what we've been doing since 2001. The benefits are absolutely huge in that an application is available anywhere, whether it be in a web browser in an office or an iPad while you're on the road. You know, if you're sitting in the Jiffy Lube and the guy says to you, hey, you need to have your flux capacitor changed, you can say, oh, look, I just had that done at 12,000 miles. So you have that benefit of knowledge with information everywhere coming from the cloud. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits. There's no need to backup data. There's no need for systems administrators. Every business has an internet connection now, and that's how you access OwnerSight.
So are there different levels of services or products that you offer, or is it kind of a one-size-fits-all, and you just use as little or as much as you want?
It's pretty much everything comes with the product for one flat annual fee based on the number of vehicles that you want to track, and you get to pick and choose which pieces that you want to use.
Okay. Well, what kind of investment are we looking at into our fleet to do something like that?
Very, very little. Believe it or not, starting at about $60 a year for up to 10 vehicles. Some of our larger fleets pay about $400 or $500 a year for up to 100 vehicles. So very, very low cost.
And that's not $60 per vehicle per year?
No, that's $60 for up to 10 vehicles per year.
Wow.
And unlimited users. That's something that makes us a little bit different from the desktop software solutions that are out there for fleet management. They tend to be a per vehicle plus per user cost. And similar solutions that have been around for 10 plus years that run on Windows can cost you 10 times as much with, you know, the same functionality.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big impact and a big difference. So for someone who is deciding if this is a good fit for them, how would they figure that out? How would I know it's time to move to this type of platform?
Well, you know, what we find with our typical user is they are either using Excel spreadsheets still. They understand the value of tracking maintenance. They understand the value of service reminders, but they haven't made that leap to, you know, Web 2.0 technology, if you will. OwnerSite makes it very, very easy to try the product. We offer a 60-day free trial, no credit card required, just a username and password. And you have a version that offers all the functionality of our product for 60 days for no risk.
Well, this sounds pretty simple. I mean, it's easy to get into, risk-free trial, very low cost of operation. How do you get the message out to people? I mean, how do you get people to say, yes, I need that product or that service?
I spend my time doing radio shows like this. you know, there's a lot of different ways, and if I knew how to completely conquer it, I'd probably be in the Cayman Islands on the beach right now. But we talked to a lot of trade associations. What we realized is that there's a lot of vertical markets in this area. Because we have limousine operators, because we have HVAC operators, it's tough to reach them all as a fleet manager type group, because our typical customer really isn't a fleet manager. It's the CEO, it's the CFO, it's the guy who's doing payroll, that wears pretty much every hat in the company. And that's one of the benefits of having a lower cost, smaller market solution. And the way we're trying to reach them is through trade groups. You know, we try to do speaking opportunities. We try to offer discounts to associations and just get the word out like that, kind of old school grassroots marketing.
Okay. Well, let me bring Larry back in at this point, because I'd like to talk a little bit about how some of this QR code and text marketing, I mean, you mentioned you wanted to talk with Larry after. Larry, maybe you can jump in here. I mean, how do we grow Stephen's business here with some of these technologies just based on what you've heard?
Well, one of the first things you can do is we do a lot with text reminders, usually with doctor's offices, automotive and stuff, but we could actually tie it into your system so that when people are entering their information, and be it when that service call needs to be done, either mileage or time, where it automatically keeps sending them text messages until they take that next step through your software. We could tie things in that way. You could also bring in outside advertisers that could be another revenue stream for you, that could be offering all these fleet managers different services that we can put on the bottom of those text messages. Mm-hmm. We call it ads on text, but it's another revenue stream that you could use to do that as well.
Yeah, it's a great potential tie-in.
So it's somewhat internal and external marketing.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, guys, the premise of the show here, and I want to spend our last few minutes kind of delving into this area, is really about this renegade concept, or breaking the rules of conventional thinking. And, yeah, I talked to you guys a little bit before the show about this, and hope maybe now you could share. What are some ideas, some principles, some values that you guys hold, either personally or in business, that you feel like have led to success, or you're working towards success with, that really step outside of some of these traditional thought processes?
Do you want to take that, Larry, or do you want me to kick this
sure,
off?
Sure, I can. Everything we've always done, I started as a graphic designer, did websites, but I'm always looking for ways to think outside the box and come up with new ideas. One of the things we always bring to the table is we sit down with our customers, we figure out what their ultimate goal is, whether it's more customers, more sales, and we figure out different ways of doing that, non-traditional ways of doing it. That's where we started the text messaging. That's where we brought the QR code marketing. My dad is an attorney, and I grew up, and he used to tell me that his favorite thing about being an attorney was to see how far he could bend the law without breaking it. And I've sort of taken that to heart and bring that into marketing and just figure out new ways to do things where you're accomplishing your goals, but in new and different ways. And what that usually means is the consumer takes notice of it, so it's not the same thing that they're getting hundreds of the same thing.
Well, I think in marketing, you really have to go down that road, though, right? Because, I mean, the place has changed so much. I mean, just like, Stephen, you were talking about earlier, how you would get people to your website and how people would come to you, and fundamentally just the way people browse the internet has inherently changed. How have you seen some of those changes, you know, come to market for you guys? I mean, just as far as as an internet entrepreneur?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it has focused on devices, and this speaks to a lot of what Larry was talking about. But, you have to be flexible out there. And then if 1999, 2000, it was a website. Well, a few years later, it was a smartphone. A few years later, it's a tablet. And you've got to be willing to adapt and realize that I have to be where my customer is. And a normal, everyday, ordinary website just doesn't cut it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a good point. And Larry, that's where I guess we come into things like the QR codes and the text, because we're trying to make things more interactive, which is a bit of a revolutionary idea, right? Because in the past, it's been outbound messaging, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, and now it's a conversation when you're dealing with a customer.
Yeah, that's correct, Andy, but you also got to take into account the definition of interactive, because in the past, an interactive website has meant it had flash on it, and it had movement on it, and people think of that as interactive, where today, the word is really physically interacting with the website, interacting with the phones. The other thing that you need to take into account is who your market is. You need to really analyze who your market is, because where traditional advertising might work for one market, it won't work for another. And if you don't take that into account, you're never going to have any success in marketing.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, do you spend time working with people on figuring that particular piece out? Or, you know, do people just say, hey, I want to throw this at the wall and see if it sticks?
No, that's one of the things we do. Is our first question for any client is, what are you trying to accomplish? Who are you trying to market to? There are a lot of times when we will flat out say text messaging is not what you need to be doing. If you're trying to hit that 50 and older market, we'll tell you don't bother spending your money doing text messaging because they're not going to respond to it.
So, Stephen, let me come back to you, because we really didn't pin you in too much on the on the non-conventional wisdom, but I'm really interested in your thought process when it comes to being an internet entrepreneur. I mean, what do you think the future is in internet and in internet style business?
I think the future is bright. I think there's always going to be smart people coming up with new ideas, and there's always going to be investors out there. As long as you're fulfilling a human need of some sort, and if that is communicating with 140 characters or less, or if it's pinning things on a virtual screen, it's always going to be a need to make people happy out there online. You know, my background is, I guess I'm an old man for this industry, being in my early 40s, but, you know, I was raised as a person who had to go to a good college to get a good job, to stay there for 30 years, and to retire.
Very conventional.
Yeah, very, very conventional. And if you think about it, now, obviously things have changed with companies aren't quite as loyal as they have been to employees, though my wife works for a fizzy beverage manufacturer, and she's been there for 16 years, so, you know, they're treating her pretty well. I think that what entrepreneurs have to realize is that there's very few of you out there. If you just look around, and almost everybody out there is a worker bee. You know, they're working for someone that had an idea to build a better widget, to build a better mousetrap. And if you have any inkling whatsoever in your mind that I have an idea to do something, I don't care if you're working 60 hours a week for the man, you're a unique person. You've got something in your mind that says, I could be an entrepreneur, because not everyone really thinks on that level. So take a chance. I was definitely very blessed in that a wife with benefits can make me a lot more flexible. But as the years evolved, kind of evened out. You know, I had success selling a business, and it's not as relevant anymore. But just realize, if you have any entrepreneurial thoughts, you're pretty unique out there.
Well, I'd like to hit this question, because I think you'll be able to address it from a hands-on standpoint. And Larry, this is pretty much the wheelhouse of what you do. But, you know, we've heard the adage, if you build a better mousetrap, you know, that the world will beat a path to your door. And we see a lot of people trying to come up with, we mentioned out of the box, they want to come up with some new revolutionary, unheard of, never thought of type idea. Whereas your vehicle management, your fleet management program really wasn't intellectually revolutionary. It was just, it was a new spin, a new take on an already existing idea.
Right.
So the key really isn't the better mousetrap. It's the marketing and the messaging of that better mousetrap.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, if you go back to the early days of the web, there very much was a if you build it, they will come mentality. And if you use the tools available to you online, you could be successful. But now there's so much more emphasis on traditional marketing. I might have a purely web-based product, but I still have to think about print marketing. I still have to think about presence marketing. I still have to think about mobile device marketing. I mean, it's part of the marketing mix. So it, just because the platform is still the internet doesn't mean you're not marketing in very, very traditional ways.
The other thing you have to keep in mind is that we have so much going on in our lives and so many distractions that it's not just building that better mousetrap, because you can build the best mousetrap out there, but if no one knows about it, you're not going to have any success whatsoever. With so many things out there now, with the internet, with the mobile phones, and with everything else, you've got to find a way to get it out there and let people know about it. It's one thing that some of these things will go on YouTube and get millions and millions of hits instantly, but to be honest, most things don't work that way. You have to actually get out there and figure out how to market it. An example is, if you remember way back when they came up with the Pet Rock, which is actually probably one of the stupidest ideas ever come about, but the people that did it, they did a phenomenal job marketing it, and they made an absolute fortune, and everyone had one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and timing and positioning of marketing can really be everything, can it? I mean, I'll address this one to you, Larry, because of the QR codes, because I've seen, there's actually a website, and I forget the name of it. I'd have to Google it to find it, but it's like QRfail.com or something like that, where basically people have put QR codes in the most odd places, like in a subway tunnel where there is no cell phone reception, or on a billboard where, like, how are you going to hit that with your mobile phone when you're zipping by at 70 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's correct, but you'd be surprised at how many people will still find ways to do it. I mean, the billboard is an obvious fail, but the subway, a lot of these QR code readers, even though you don't have cell phone reception, you can still shoot it and then it'll read it later. I mean, you'll see QR codes on, I've seen them on TV shows where you can actually shoot them off your TV these days. So there's not, it's a matter of getting creative and how to use it. Sometimes those failed ideas have the most impact because people, they stand out.
I came across a good QR code the other day. I'm tall, so I have the benefit of seeing on top of things, and I realized that our new refrigerator had a QR code on the top of the refrigerator. And I thought to myself, well, what on earth is this? So I scanned it, and it sent me a link to the make, the model, the serial number, basically everything you would need if you're contacting warranty support. So I don't have to look for that little decal anymore inside the back of the fridge. I thought that was a brilliant idea.
I like it. Now if we could just get people to start wearing QR codes, you know, we wouldn't even have to talk anymore. We'd just snap a picture and find out everything we want to know and if we're interested in engaging in conversation or not, right?
I might know an investor for you.
Andy, you would be surprised. I've seen people that have gotten QR code tattoos with their information on them.
Really?
Yeah. But one
that's
of the,
one you don't get to take back. I mean, when you make that commitment, you're full in.
No. One of the things that we've also done with the QR codes is we have what's called a QR code name badge that you can wear to a networking event, and it does exactly what you just described. It's got your name, you know, where people can read it, but it's got the QR code so they can shoot it and get all your information right there, and they can decide what they want to do with it, whether they want to engage you or not.
Well, let me ask one more question, Larry, and then we'll start pulling this to a close. But when it comes to QR codes, for some of us in the older generation that may not be as savvy about some of the applications and programs out there, you know, how do you find a good QR reader?
Simply go, if you're on Apple, go to iTunes and search QR reader. Any of the same thing with the Android phones. There's so many of them out there, and they all do well. There's not a bad one really out there.
All right. So if you got a bad one, then Larry, how do they get in touch with you and tell you that they found a bad one? No, I'm kidding. But let's provide some contact information for everybody. Larry, if people are interested in text message marketing or establishing some QR codes to grow their business, how would they go about getting in touch with you?
They can contact me through my website, which is rutxting.com, rutexting.com with no E in texting. If they want to participate and play our Snap the QR game, go to snaptheqr.com.
And if they type that in while driving, what happens? No, I'm kidding. That's a whole different campaign, right?
Then they're going to record the accident on their site.
There you go. Exactly. We're going to record that into their fleet management software, right, and be able to pull all the traffic details. All right. Well, great. Well, Stephen, tell us how would people go about getting in touch with you if they're looking to use this fleet management software to achieve some ROI on their vehicle management?
Easy. Go to www.ownersite.com. There's a bevy of information on the product on the site, and click on the free trial link near the top right, and you can get yourself hooked up with a free trial.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, guys, I want to thank you for being on the show today. We really appreciate you coming in and sharing some viewpoints about your companies and about how people can take some non-traditional ideas and create success and momentum going forward.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Thanks a lot.
Everyone listening, thank you for tuning in again to another edition of Renegade Radio. Hope you learned something today that will help you break out of those traditional norms. And remember that opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.